gift to you, not just the gift of salvation, not just the gift of grace, but he's also given you a spiritual gift that he has blessed you with in some fashion. And that gift, some people like to look at those gifts as opportunities to enhance themselves. Some people think that, oh, well, being a pastor, you must have all these wonderful gifts and nothing ever goes wrong in your life, and you're just so blessed above everybody else. And it's really the pastor is the most important person in the church. That is not true. The pastor is a important person in the church, but so are you. The pastor is no more important than anyone else. Yes, when the pastor clubs up, everybody sees it more readily than anybody else. But the pastor is not more important. There's a difference in your relationships. At least that's the way I see it. That's the way I've lived it, is that God has gifted us, God has gifted you with gifts. And when we all work together, it works well. When President Reagan was shot, the government continued to function. Other people stepped in to fill the roles and all of that. And yes, there was a time of fear and trepidation going on there, but the government continued to function pretty much uninterrupted. But when the garbage men in New York City went on strike, they just about shut down the city. And if we were to sit here and try to evaluate who's more important, the garbage men or the President of the United States, we're making false evaluation, because everybody is important to fulfill their role. And a new pastor arrives. Historically, now this won't happen here, I know that, but historically, traditionally, what happens is people say, oh good, I've been doing this so long, the new pastor's here, he'll take over and I can step back. What we really need is for everybody to step up. Because this is not the pastor's church. This is the Lord's church. This is the body of Christ. And you're part of that body. And God has gifted you with some aspect of ministry that he has called you to do. And he expects you to do it. Now this is what it says here in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 7. But grace was given to each one of us. Grace, when we look in other passages, it'll talk about the spiritual gifts, which is appropriate. But Paul uses it as grace right here. Grace is unmerited favor. It is a gift to us. Grace was given to each one of us according to the measure of Christ's gift. Christ has given you something, an ability, a ministry, an opportunity that he expects you to use, not for your self-glorification, but for the building up of the church, of his body. But it is given to the individual for the church. Romans 12:6, having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us use them. 1 Corinthians 12:7, to each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. If you have a spiritual gift, that's wonderful, you should use it, and yes, I would honor you for using that. But it is not to be used for your own. It's to be used for your own. The body of Christ. Now, within that concept, he also has given to the church individuals. So he gifts individuals, he's gifted each one of us individually, and then he has given gifted individuals to the church as a whole. In Ephesians 4:11, it says, and he, referring to Jesus Christ, and he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers. God has given pastors and teachers to this church. It is a gift from God. Now again, I'll walk through this with you a little bit. The apostles and prophets are foundational, itinerant ministers. There are some congregations, some denominations that upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone. Christ is where we take all our measurements off of. I've spoken to you about this before. The word cornerstone is used in two ways. It's either the chief foundation stone when you set it up in the corner, or it's the capstone. When you build an arch, it's the capstone that goes in at the very top that bolts the whole of the arch together and keeps it from collapsing. In this case, I see the foundation stone as the first stone laid where all the measurements for the rest of the building are taken from. That's how you square a building. You have to start with one common spot, and you square everything off of that. That's the cornerstone. And Christ is our cornerstone. As a church, we measure everything off of Christ, our cornerstone. And then off of that cornerstone, we lay a foundation. The apostles and prophets were used to lay the foundation for the church of Jesus Christ, if we're using the analogy of the building. Ephesians chapter 3, verses 4 and 5. When you read this, you can perceive my insight into the mystery of Christ, which was not made known to the sons of men in other generations, as it is, has now been revealed to his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. The church is a new thing that God was doing, and the apostles and the prophets were used to lay the foundation for the church. Next, he identifies evangelists. And when you say the word evangelist, the first image that comes to my mind is Billy Graham. I was raised up in the Billy Graham era. I think of, well, Billy Graham was an evangelist. And he went out and he evangelized. I would extend that definition just a little bit further to those who are church planters going to start a church where a church does not yet exist. I would extend that out to our missionaries who go out into a field and try and establish a church in a foreign field, in a foreign ministry. I would identify them having the gift of the ministry, the mission of evangelists. Now, I want you to understand, while there are gifts, while there is the office of evangelists, we are all called to be a witness for the Lord. You may not have the gift of evangelism, but you have the responsibility of evangelizing and witnessing. So, sometimes people say, well, you know, the preacher, he stands up front, and sometimes in some translations it talks about how we're supposed to preach the gospel to all the nations, and you think, okay, well, God has given that over to the preachers, so that's a load off my mind. I don't have to worry about that. What you need to understand is that wherever you go, wherever you are identified as a believer, you are preaching the gospel. You are a preacher of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, see, I live in Tucson, and in Tucson, you can know anonymity. You can go where nobody knows you at all. In Newman Grove, that is not possible. So wherever you go, you carry with you the identifier of a disciple of Jesus Christ, and you may carry with you the identifier as a member of Fellowship Bible Church. Now, I tell you what, I'm not so worried about your identifier as the Fellowship Bible Church, because if you're doing the right identifier of being identified with Jesus Christ, that's the main thing. That is the main thing. Then there is pastor, teacher. And these two words are linked together. Pastor, teacher. And the word pastor is also found throughout the New Testament as shepherd. So you could say shepherd, teacher. In John chapter 21, Peter came to Jesus post-resurrection. You remember, they'd been out fishing all night. Jesus restored Peter through the three questions and all, and then he commissioned Peter three times. This is in John chapter 21. And first he says, feed my lambs. That's the role of a shepherd. He says then, tend my sheep. That is the role of a shepherd. Number three, he says, feed my sheep. That is the role of a shepherd. To look after the sheep, the lambs, the flock. That's the role of a shepherd. The role of shepherd the flock of God that is among you, exercising oversight, that's authority, not under compulsion, but willingly, as God would have you, not for shameful gain, but eagerly, not domineering over those in your charge, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the unfading crown of glory. So the call of God in the life of the shepherd is to have oversight over the flock. Normally, I cannot imagine a shepherd going out to the sheep and saying, "Oh, well, what do you think we ought to do today? Should we go eat over here? Should we go?" No, the shepherd has oversight. shape, or form, but there's a lot of panic because some people just couldn't deal with it. We need to teach each other to not be helpless. That's the role of the church. Okay? Hang on. Know what you know. Know what the Bible tells you. Because there is always going to be somebody. There always has. Even from the very inception of the New Testament, there are people that will try to take advantage of your Lord. You know, the youth will tell you that I showed them that you should not go about it. I did it to my kids. I did it to them. I showed them about a first donor. Everybody knows what a hurt zone it is? Thank you, Joel. Okay. See, you don't want to fall for this because the kids in school know this. So you want a hurt zone? Oh, yeah, I love donuts. Sure, give me a hurt zone. Hey, right in your shoulder. Hurt zone. Or, have you ever seen a match burn twice? Sure can. You take a match and you light it clear once. Now, just so that you know, your pastor is not entirely sadistic. I never struck any of the youth, did I? Okay. And I didn't burn any of the youth either. But I took away their whole ability to fall for that. Because those were big things when I was growing up, and I taught my kids about those things. In the spiritual realm, you can fall for a lot of stuff. And it's the role of the pastor, the elders, the leaders, to help grow up to adult. In fact, the scriptures use the word, if you're reading King James or New King James Version, they say you're supposed to grow up and be perfect. The English Standard Version, the NIV, New American Standard Bible, translates the same word as mature. So what are the signs of maturity? Well, in Ephesians 4:1 it says, I therefore, a prisoner for the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called. Walk in a way that identifies that you are saved by the grace of Jesus Christ. It continues on that, expounds on that. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 15 and 16, rather speaking the truth in love. Now, don't just say, okay, those are just the words, because God never says, just say the words. This is not just speaking, but it's living, okay? Living the truth in love, we are to grow up. We are to adult in every way into Him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, and each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. Do you remember a newborn baby? 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 to 4. I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is the judge, the living and the dead, and by his appearing in his kingdom, preach the word. That's why we are Fellowship Bible Church. Preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season to reprove, rebuke, exhort with complete patience and teaching. For the time is coming, and I tell you now, is at hand. The time is here when people will not endure sound teaching, but having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions and will turn away from listening to the truth and wander off in the mist. We live in a culture right now where people print out Bibles specifically to accommodate their sin. We have many who identify to be a followers of Christ that are actually trying to conform Christ to their image rather than allowing the Holy Spirit of God to transform them into the image of Christ. As it is, God arranged the members in the body, each one of them, as he chose. If all were a single member, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, yet one body. We are to glorify on our diversity. In one church I had one guy that was very adamant. He says, we ought to quit giving any money to missions and use it all on the youth for our community. Reach the youth of our community. I said, hey, that's great. I love your passion for the youth of our community. But then I had another guy that says, we ought to quit paying the pastor and doing anything for the youth of the community and send all the money to missions. I said, I love your passion for missions, but we need to balance. We cannot ignore the ministry within our community, nor can we ignore our commission to reach the world with the gospel of Christ. And so we need to recognize these two guys had a hard time getting together because they both had different passions. But thank God for those passions. We need them both. I'm so grateful for Matt and Bailey taking the kids on that trip. For Matt's ministry to the youth group this past year. That is not my gift. It is just praise God. And I could go on to name a number of people around here, but I'm already over time. Basically, the Lakehouse model says that any individual has an influence over 8 to 15 people. Remember, I gave you out even a prayer sheet that you can use in the bookmark to keep track of you to pray for your Lakehouse each day. And I got to tell you, a pastor has that same level of influence, maybe 8 to 15 people. So if we're looking at the pastor to be the sole influence for Christ with representing the church and the community, you're looking at a very small circle of influence. But if we look at each of us, that each one of us within the body of Christ, we're all here, we